This morning's Thanksgiving message, we're going to look at Psalm 34, the first three verses of Psalm 34. As we begin this morning, I'm going to read this psalm in its entirety. So here now, Psalm 34, if you're using your Pew Bible, you could find this on page 588. Psalm 34. Of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, so that he drove him out, and he went away. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction may slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Amen. Just once again, bow in prayer and seek the Lord's blessing. Our gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for these words you have given to us. As we gather together to give you thanks, may you, Lord, impress upon us the truth in these words. May you open up our eyes and our ears, our hearts and minds to receive it. May you, Father, bless my mind and my mouth, and may think and speak your word clearly this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Sometimes, when you ask a small child what they're thankful for, you're never quite certain what will come out of their mouth. The other day, we asked our son what he was thankful for, and he very rightly and beautifully looked out the window and said, "I'm thankful for the streetlights." And then we asked again, "What are you thankful for?" And he turned, he looked at me, "I'm thankful for Daddy's glasses." You see, he was thankful for the first thing he saw. We asked him, and he looked, and what was in his gaze? Said, "I'm thankful for that." And how that illustration applies here to these words is that we're to keep our gaze upon God, to focus upon him. And although we're called to be thankful for everything he has given us, to keep our focus upon him and our thanksgiving upon him, chiefly. That's what we learned from these words this morning, and we'll be looking at the theme that all times let us give thanks for the Lord by boasting and exalting in him. At all times let us give thanks for the Lord by boasting and exalting in him. The three points we'll be looking at in these verses this morning are, first of all, we'll look briefly at the title in the heading there, the situation David finds himself in. The second point, at all times, give thanks to the Lord, in verse 1. And then in verses 2 and 3, give thanks to the Lord by boasting in him and exalting his name. So first of all, the situation David finds himself in. Most of the Psalms, the vast majority of the Psalms, even if there's a title, really give us no information about when they were written. It simply might say a Psalm of David or a Psalm of Asaph. But here, surprisingly, the title is quite detailed in the situation that this psalm was written. It says, of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, so that he drove him out and he went away. Changing his behavior there is literally he was acting like he was insane. And that's the picture that we get in the historic setting of this psalm that we have for us in 1 Samuel 21. In 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 10 through 22, in the first part of verse 1 of chapter 22, we read these words, and David rose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. And David took these words to heart and was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane in their hands and made marks on the doors of the gate and let his spittle run down his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, behold, you see the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to behave as a madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. That's a historic setting that we have here in this psalm. David acting like he was mad, changing his behavior. Now you might ask, well, 1 Samuel talks about Achish, and the psalm talks about Abimelech. We can reconcile this in that the name Abimelech was really kind of like the title of a king, like we would refer to a pharaoh or a Caesar in the olden days. It's just, you know, a different person would rise up and take on the mantle of Abimelech. So Achish was the Abimelech of that time in which David behaved in this way. So we see that in the setting of this psalm, David's life was in real danger. I mean, David had the song that they referenced there was after that great battle when David slew Goliath and the people of Israel sang his praises that Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. And so this king should have destroyed David when he had the chance. But God gave David favor in the eyes of that king Abimelech, King Achish. But his life was still in danger. And that is the setting that we have in this psalm. David's life, so being in danger, he begins this psalm as he recalls what the Lord has done for him. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That brings us to our second point this morning. At all times, give thanks for the Lord. Now, as we read words like these, I will bless the Lord at all times. One question that might come into our mind is, what does it mean to bless the Lord? What does that mean? What does that entail? Well, most of the commentaries and dictionaries give this definition of the Hebrew word that's translated as bless here. It's to commend, speak words invoking divine favor, to praise, extol, thank for greatness or goodness, and speak words of the excellence of an object. So we could really read these words as, I will give thanks for the Lord at all times. I will bless him at all times. That meaning fits into the Hebrew word. And when we think about giving thanks for the Lord or blessing him in all times, in all situations, it brings to mind really the attitude that is displayed here is also shown in the disciples of Christ and the apostles, Paul and his disciple, Silas. As in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are put in prison, and we read in verse 25 of chapter 16 that although they were in chains and bound, the response was that they sang praises to God. They were singing psalms to God while in prison, while bound, to the marvel of the other prisoners around them and even the jailers. See, in all situations, in that difficult situation, Paul and Silas were giving thanks. They were praising God while in chains. It's also an idea and an attitude that is encapsulated well by Job, the Old Testament man who, in Job chapter 13, verse 15, in the first line of that verse, he encapsulates the attitude well in saying, "Though he slay me, I will hope in him." That profession of faith by Job there, that though the Lord would slay him, he will hope in him and continue to put his hope in him. See, as we stop on this day throughout the year in our nation and we reflect upon the good things that we have, these are good things to thank the Lord for. They're good things to praise him for and to magnify his name for, to give him thanks for the wonderful blessings that he has given to us and the people that he has brought into our life. But as we stop and we think about this day, one thing I would like us all to think about, myself included, is if all of the good things that we're thankful for were removed, would we still be thankful? If all we had truly was the Lord himself in this life, would we still be thankful? If you removed everything else. You see, that is the type of radical thankfulness that we are called to as believers, as children of God. To have the thankfulness in our heart that even if the Lord would remove and strip everything good away from us, but just leave us himself, that we would still be able to cry out, "At all times I will bless the Lord. At all times I will give thanks to the Lord." That is the type of radical thankfulness that we are called to. And brothers and sisters, as we've been looking at Jesus' teaching in his Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, and before that, as we looked at the Ten Commandments and the law that God has given, the conclusion that we draw come to as we're called to this type of radical thankfulness is that we can't do this on our own. This is impossible for any ordinary human being to do. It is only through Christ and only through trusting on him that we can have this type of radical thankfulness. And so we're at all times to give thanks to the Lord. Well, what are some ways that we can help ourselves to have this attitude, to have this type of attitude in our life, to at all times give thanks for the Lord? Well, that brings us to our third point. Give thanks for the Lord by boasting in him and exalting in his name. In verses 2 and 3 of Psalm 34, we read, "My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." First of all, a couple of words that I want to just focus on in these verses. First of all, to boast. David says here, he boasts in the Lord. What does it mean to boast in the Lord? Well, as I was growing up, and when I was a young child, we didn't go to the Midwest Presbytery family camp that, you know, I grew up in the Midwest Presbytery of the RPCNA. We instead would drive, I believe it's in Tennessee, to the Great Lakes Gulf Presbytery family camp called Covey McCoy. My uncle was a pastor in Orlando, and it was a good time for us as a family to get together there. I remember one year, I was around the ages of 6, 7, or 8, one of those years. I'm not sure which year the camp fell upon. But I was part of a relay team. They had some competition and contest set up. And we were divided up into different teams, and I was on a relay team. And I happened to be on a team that had probably one of the fastest kids at the camp. So my relay team won. It had nothing to do with me, really, at all. But our relay team won, and I got a little medal that went around my neck. As I replace the microphone here, I got a little medal that I could wear around my neck. And I was proud of that medal. I boasted it. I showed it to my parents and my sisters and my aunt and uncle, my grandparents that were there. I was proud of that one, even though it was just a cheap little medal. See, I boasted in that reward that I had received in the race that I took part of. This is the type of boasting here that David talks about. And it's the type of boasting that we find in Philippians chapter 3. Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 16, and this is in a section, he's talking about the righteousness that is in Christ, and he briefly says that he suffers loss of all things, but and counts them as rubbish, everything good that he had before, he counts it as loss and as rubbish, as he is pursuing Christ, and he longs to have Christ all the more. And then he says these words, "Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus had made me his own, has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained." Paul there, striving as in a race for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. His goal was to have more of Jesus Christ, if that was possible, to pursue him, to strain after that calling in Jesus Christ. You see, Christ is our reward. So boasting in the Lord, boasting in Christ, would be like me as a small child focusing upon that medal that I had, my reward, and boasting in it. We're to fix our gaze upon Christ, because he ultimately is our reward. He is the reward that we have been promised and given, and to fix our gaze upon him. By boasting in him, by fixing our gaze upon him, we will have that radical thankfulness that we're called to have towards the Lord. Because in any situation, as we keep our eyes focused upon him, we will understand what we have been given ultimately and continue to bless and to be thankful for him. The other word I'd like to look at is the word exalt. Back in the Psalm, in verse 3, "O magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together." The word exalt means to hold someone or something in very high regard, to think or speak very, very highly of. And we're to do this, David says, he's calling us here together to exalt the name of the Lord, to lift up his name. And as you know well, that when we think about the name of the Lord, that's not simply not misusing his name, which we're also called to do, using it properly in our speech and the names that he's been given in Scripture, but it's everything about him, his character, his nature, who he is, what he has done, every way that he reveals himself to us, or to exalt this name of God and to hold it in high regard. And think highly and speak highly of him, exalting him. One way that we could maybe summarize these points here is that a couple of years ago, it was Jake Locker, who was the quarterback of the University of Washington. It was his final year, senior year. He had come back for his senior year. And one day, Don Piper called me up, said he had an extra ticket, if I'd like to go to a game. So I said, sure, I would happily go and see a game. It would be my first Washington Huskies game. So Don and I went, we got there early before the team is introduced, and we're sitting there, and the introductions are being made, the various teammates that are going through getting their introductions, and the crowd is applauding them and cheering. But then they reserve the last player to be introduced before the introduction of coaches is Jake Locker. And they introduce his name, and it's dramatic, and the announcer prolongs it out. And as he's walking through the tunnel onto the field, the place erupts in applause, cheering this young man on and giving thanks for him. And the reason for that is that as Jake Locker was introduced and they're looking towards this battle on the gridiron that they're about to have, the crowd is recalling all the good things that Jake Locker had done for that team through his time at the University of Washington, the victories that he had led them to, and just the fact that he came back as well. They were recalling all of this. They were boasting in all of this. They were exalting his name as he was introduced onto the playing field. And ultimately, everyone there that was boasting in him, exalting his name, and their heart was giving thanks for the fact that Jake Locker was on their team. They were thankful that Jake Locker was there to lead the Washington Huskies on. Now, if this is true for a man from the age 21, 22 years old, how much more then should it be the case for our Lord, for our God? As a crowd there reflected upon what Jake Locker had done for them, as they boasted in him, exalted his name, giving thanks for him, how much more then should it be for our God? In all that He has done for us, in all that He has given to us, in His strength and His power, the victories that He has given to us, the victory that He has promised us. And what He has given us also is Himself, even if there was nothing else that He gave us, but Himself alone. That should give us reason all the more to boast in Him, to exalt His name. And in this way, be led to have that radical thankfulness that we are called to at all times, in every situation, to bless the Lord and to give thanks for Him. And so, brothers and sisters, as we draw this to a close, let us remember that regardless of what the Lord brings into our life, He has given us some very good things, and that is wonderful, and we need to be thankful for them and give Him praise and exalt His name for them. But even if He should bring hard times into our life where everything is stripped away, we should still call to have that thankfulness for Him, to bless His name, to magnify it, to boast in Him even then. Because ultimately, what He's given to us is Himself. And that is the only thing that endures for eternity. All the wonderful things that we should be thankful for and take joy in that He has given to us in this life will all pass away. But He Himself will endure forever. It is the only lasting hope that we have, and the only sure thing that we have to give thanks for. And so, brothers and sisters, at all time, let us give thanks to the Lord by boasting and exalting in Him. Amen. Our gracious Father, Lord, we do praise You and boast in You and exalt Your name for all the wonderful things that You have given to us. Lord, every good thing, every good gift comes from You. You give, Lord, freely to both the righteous and the unrighteous. You, Lord, pour out Your rains upon the righteous and the unrighteous. You cause the sun to rise upon the righteous and the unrighteous. You are good, and You love to give good things, especially to those who fear You and love You. And Lord, may we at all times rejoice in what You have given us and be thankful to You for what You have given us, but not losing sight, Lord, of the true prize that we have been given, the true, wonderful, good thing that we have been given. And that is, Lord, You have given us Yourself. And may we, Lord, at all times remember that is the only thing that lasts, the only thing that endures. Everything else will fall away. But You, Lord, endure forever. And our prize will never be taken away from us. And in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, amen. Well, now turn with me to this psalm in your books of praise to Psalm 34, Selection B. Psalm 34, Selection B. This is the first 10 verses of the psalm that we've just looked at. So I will at all times bless the Lord. His praise my mouth will always voice. And in the Lord my soul shall boast. The poor will hear it and rejoice. Let it please stand, and as we sing these five stanzas of Psalm 34, Selection B.